see everyone who's back out this evening. And we have had a beautiful day for a change, and that's good. But I hope everyone has enjoyed the day. And tonight we're going to take a look at a song. If you grabbed an outline, or if you noticed when I put it in the bulletin at the end of last month, we're going to look at this song. It's very popular around this time of the year. It is the song, Mary, Do You Know? And it's considered to be a seasonal hymn. But it asks a question, and we're going to look at it. And I'll go ahead, if you're looking at your outline, you may notice that I put the lyrics down there. And I will run through those in just a moment and mention various verses. You may notice that I put a verse at the end of each line to show that indeed it is taken directly from Scripture. But really tonight what I'm going to look at is the controversy that surrounds this song. I remember years ago, it has to be 30 or so, maybe slightly more than that, and I believe that it was Whitney Houston, I think, that came out with a version of this song. She wasn't the first, but it grabbed my attention. I listened to the words of it, and I thought the words were beautiful. The song is beautiful. And I even thought there were some lines, and I'll point out one or two that strike me so much in the song, one of the reasons I like it, that are rather profound in asking the question. But I was surprised to realize that when the song had come out a few years earlier, and since that time, and I went and read a little bit a few weeks back, whatever it was, that the controversy still rages on. And we'll mention it after we go through the lyrics and show that indeed it's a scriptural song, but we'll mention the controversy, the questions that arise about it. And I find it interesting that it can be such a hotly debated song. Never struck me that way from the first time I heard it, but you may find it interesting as well as we consider the questions that surround it. Now, having said all of that, let's go through the lyrics. You probably know the song, Mary, Did You Know? That your baby boy would one day walk on water. Now, obviously, that's taken from the scene. You can find it, for example, as I put down in Matthew 14. Remember that Jesus came walking on the water, and the disciples were afraid. And then Peter said, you know, Lord, if it's you, then bid me, and I'll walk. And he walks on the water, and then he falls into the water, and Jesus has to save him. But indeed, Jesus walked on water. Did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? And indeed, Jesus is the Savior. Luke 19 came to, as he told the crowd at the conversion of Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Or Acts chapter 2, verse 17, quoting from Joel, how the Spirit would be poured out on our sons and daughters. And all, verse 21, who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. I want to read with you in the next line. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. And I think this is, you know, it's a beautiful passage about Jesus. But it describes exactly what Jesus has done. So in keeping with the theme and the idea, look with me down, and I won't read the whole passage, but down in chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then, Mary, did you know, the song asks, the child you've delivered would soon deliver you. And down in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now this is interesting, and I want to spend just a moment on it because it grabs at the very core of the song. The idea is that yes, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but Jesus is not just a man, and we know that. No, in fact, if you'll go back to chapter 1 briefly with me, when he came into the world, and the writer of Hebrews points out two things in the book that the scripture does not point out anywhere else. And it is something Jesus said when he left heaven and came into the world in Hebrews 10. And it is something the Father said when Jesus left heaven and came into the world. And you see that in chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Unto which of the angels said he, God the Father, at any time, thou art my son? Psalm 2 says this. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Notice verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. We know that this was an act of God the Father. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. She conceived as a virgin. And the Bible says in verse 6 here, when the Father brought him into the world, he said to him, let all the angels of God worship him. I think that's a beautiful passage. It's just a beautiful scene there, and thinking of the Father saying that and the glory of Jesus, and it is glorious for Jesus to leave heaven, and if you'll go back with me to chapter 2 and verse 14, to take on himself a body of flesh and blood, to be conceived like we all are in the sense of being conceived in the womb of a woman. And yet, this is a miraculous conception by an act of God the Father. But again, read verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2. For then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And notice verse 15, as the song says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the song grabs various descriptions and acts of Jesus as we go on and run through some of these. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? There are several times where he gives sight to a blind man, but I chose blind Bartimaeus and that story in Mark 10, and how Bartimaeus, you know, cries out for mercy from the Son of David, and Jesus heals him. I believe that's in Jericho. Did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? We talked about that this morning in class as we looked at Master, the tempest is raging. The very fact that, you know, he's asleep in the boat. Remember the scene there? The disciples are, you know, frantic over the storm. And they go to him, don't you care? You know, we're perishing. Don't you care? You're sleeping. And he stands up and peace, be still. And just the power of the God of all creation over what he has created. He would calm a storm with his hand. Mary, did you know that? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? There are several times in Scripture. There's not a passage that ever says that I know of, that unless I just missed it. Not a passage where it literally says that Jesus walked where angels walk. But there are plenty of passages that tell us that Jesus came from heaven. Jesus himself says it in John 3 and verse 13. He that, you know, he says to Nicodemus, he that ascended in heaven has descended from heaven. Or literally in chapter 6, and he says, and I put one of the verses down there, I'm the bread of heaven. But he says a number of times, I came down from heaven. And he makes that point clear to the Jews. And remember, it's a controversial statement. Who is this that says he's the bread of heaven? Who is this that says he came from heaven? Well, Jesus clearly stated that. So yes, your baby boy has walked. Notice the idea there. Here is Mary. She's just conceived of Jesus. But Jesus is very clearly saying, my life didn't begin in Mary's womb. I came from heaven to her womb. Jesus is from everlasting. I didn't put it on the passage or on the outline here. But there is the passage in Micah chapter 5 that says, in Bethlehem is born the one whose goings, remember, are everlasting. And I love to quote that. Sometimes I put an article in the bulletin around this time of year. Didn't this year. But sometimes I will put something in there about Micah just to remind us that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And when you kiss your little baby, as I point out, this is maybe my favorite line in the song. I think of Mary in the inn, in the stable. I think of Jesus, you know, being wrapped in the swaddling clothes, as the passage in Luke 2 says, her laying him in the manger. I think of that. And like all mothers, have no doubt that, you know, when she put him to bed, it's very common for a mother to bend over and to kiss, you know, the child's cheek or forehead or whatever. You've no doubt seen many women do that. You may be a woman and you've done that, you know, that very kind of thing. But did you know when you kissed your little baby that you've kissed the face of God. You know, Matthew 1 and verse 23, you may want to turn over there. This is when Gabriel is talking to Joseph. And he quotes from Isaiah 7. But it says, the prophecy says in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, quoted there in verse 23, that a virgin shall be with child. And indeed, Mary was a virgin, and she was with child. Should not be possible except by miracle, and that's exactly how it happened. But if you notice, a virgin shall be with child, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. That is, Emmanuel, God with us. Did you know when you kissed your little baby, your brand new, newly born little baby boy, you kissed the very face of God? That to me is just such an awesome picture. Here is Jesus laying there from appearance looking like any newborn little boy. And yet this is God. God taking flesh and blood. God identifying with us. God with us. Go back to that passage Kevin read. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That's just an awesome statement. And so this was a line that jumped out at me, that struck me from the beginning about the song. Did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Now, not every one of those lines is in what Jesus said, but I think when I hear that in that song, I immediately think of John the Baptist being in prison, how he sent, remember, a couple of guys to Jesus, and are you the one? And how Jesus said, go tell John, and he says some of this. Go tell John the blind see and the deaf hear, and so forth and so on. It reminds me of that. But certainly all of these things, all these miracles he accomplished. When I hear the praises of the Lamb, I immediately think of Revelation 15. They sang the song of Moses, the first lawgiver, and the Lamb, the last lawgiver in Revelation 15. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Think of Acts chapter 2. We could turn to any of a number of verses, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He's the King. He's the Lord. He is the ruler of all creation. He is the Creator. Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? That comes from an Old Testament prophecy, but it's quoted a couple of times in the New Testament, or alluded to, if you rather, paraphrased, maybe is more correctly the way to put it. But Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5, where it pictures Israel as the woman, remember, and she delivers the man child who would rule all nations. Or again in chapter 19, that he is the ruler of all nations, and then goes on to say, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? When you read in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's a beautiful passage there, but when it talks about us being born again, it talks about that being made possible because the Lamb without spot, without blemish, and certainly we're talking about Jesus there, from the very foundation of the world, from the beginning, before the world was even created, this plan of God unfolded in God's mind. And we may not until Judgment Day and beyond understand all the reasons why God did it as he did it. But it was decided in the mind of God by, as you know, Peter even says in Acts chapter 2, the determinate will of God, that when man was given the ability to sin and did sin, that it was going to require the sacrifice of the Son of God. All of that was laid out. All of that planned. Not anything, you know, where God has to come up with some kind of way to fix things as though he botched it or messed it up or didn't quite anticipate everything. You know, we do that. We don't anticipate things going wrong, and so we have to come up with a plan. But that wasn't the case with God. No, God knew exactly how everything would unfold, and God knew exactly what he would do about it. And what he would do, Mary, is he would have Jesus born into your body. And then as the perfect Lamb of God, he'd be sacrificed. And then as the song goes on to say, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. I think about Jesus' statement in John 8. And as he said to the Jews, remember that long discussion? I even put an article in the bulletin about no room in the inn. And I made the point from John 8 that the Word of God has no place in people like those Pharisees there. But as Jesus concluded that argument, and of course they heated up to the point they wanted to stone him to death. Remember that. But Jesus made the argument about Abraham. And Jesus said, Abraham was glad to see my day. He saw it. He rejoiced. And they mocked him. You're not even 50 years old. How could Abraham see you? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was. Not I'm over 2,000 years old and I lived before Abraham. No, I'm eternal. I am. I am the self-existent God that spoke to Moses, that spoke to Abraham. I'm the Lord of all creation. But I think about the awesome scene here that's being portrayed in this song. And this is the second line. Both of them are very related. You kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. You hold your sleeping child. Now, I'm sure most of us that are older in this room at one time or another have rocked a child. And I'm the oldest kid of five children, so I did a lot of rocking and beating and all that kind of thing. And then nephews and nieces and everything else. But, you know, there's something beautiful about a little baby as you rock that child and he goes to sleep. So innocent, so tiny. It's just, there's something very comforting even to hold and rock a child. The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. That's an awesome picture to me. And what it does, again, goes right back to what I see here in Hebrews 2. Made a little lower than the angels, willing to take flesh and blood, willing to identify with us in every perfect way, so he could be our Savior. Mary, did you know? Now, it's a beautiful song. And I made it a point, and I labored to make it a point, that it's a very scriptural song. I don't think there's anything in the song, not one line, that's unscriptural. I think that these are beautiful lyrics. And I put the songwriter's name down here, Buddy Green and Mark Lowry. And it just, to me, it's a great song. However, there's a controversy, and it's twofold. And if you're looking at your outline, you can read it along with me, or just listen carefully as I mentioned the two questions or controversies that grow out of the song. The first one is the very basic question in the song. It is not so much that he would walk on water or save our sons and daughters. No one, you know, I mean, no conservative theologian has any problem with any of that. But it's the question, Mary, did you know these things? Well, some are quick to say, well, she wouldn't know all these things because they hadn't happened yet, at least most of them. And surely she might know that she's kissing the face of God, but he hasn't yet walked on the water, healed the blind man, all that kind of thing. Okay. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying, Mary, did you know that this is God? And so some immediately come out, and some did rush out when the song came out, and they didn't like it, and you know, most of these were Protestants. This particular question. And Protestants quickly said, how could the Virgin, and, you know, conservative Protestants, fundamentalists, etc. And again, remember, I'm coming from that background, so I remember some of this very well. But how could the Virgin give birth as she did, as I believe, I'm sure you believe, but how could the Virgin give birth and not know exactly who and what her son really wants? So the idea is, she knows she's a virgin. She knows it takes a miracle for her to be giving birth to the child. And it's stated, and you can go to Luke 1, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take time really to read all of that, but I will in a moment. So be looking or turning to Luke 1 at least. Gabriel is making it clear to her, this is a miracle. This is God doing this. And let me tell you who this, and he quotes a number, you know, including Isaiah 9. He's quoting passages from the Old Testament and phrases and so forth from the Old Testament to let her know this is God. And this is the Son of God. So Protestants rushed out and said, you come out with a song and you say, Mary, did you know? And again, poetic license aside, I mean, we mean a lot of different things by the word know. You know, and on different levels. You know something, you really know something, you really understand, comprehend something, etc. But the debate rages on. So if you're the virgin giving birth to the child and you've been told straight out who the child is, how could you not know? And so Protestants got all upset about it and still do. There's some, you go on the internet and see this. There are recent debates about it. Now the second one more came out of the Catholic tradition and those theologians. And this is what they said. How could a perfect, and you've got to understand the picture of Mary and the position Mary holds. And so how could a perfect, yes, even, and the word is immaculate, Mary, not fully understand not only who she is, but her position with Jesus, the Son of God. And he gets into that whole idea surrounding Mary as the mediatrix and, you know, counting the beads and what's the term I'm looking for? The rosary and all of that. But when they're citing that, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. And the idea is, how could you not know who you were and the position you have with Jesus so that you petition Jesus for us? Mary, did you know? So what happened was, here's this beautiful song that I find, you know, beautiful and even profound in some of the questions it asked. And it made me think of, you know, in a different way about Jesus as a baby and Mary, you know, in that position she was suddenly in, the mother, literally, of the Son of God. And I loved it. And yet these seemingly all believers came out of, you know, all over the place having a problem with the song. Now, let's consider the question in the song, and let's consider the controversy for a moment. And I'm going to say it like this. Mary, in fact, I believe, Scripture shows this, and we're going to look at some passages that will tell us this, that Mary, in fact, knew many things about Jesus, without question. I mean, she was the virgin giving birth to Jesus, etc. There were many things she knew. But how well she knew them, or you might say it like this, how intimately she understood them, is a fair question. So spend a little bit of time with me, and we won't, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes here, but let's look at some passages. Go with me to Luke 1. Now in Luke 1, you'll see, and I'm not going to read every verse here, but if you remember that Luke is recounting not only the birth of Jesus, but the 6 month earlier conception of John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin, and Elizabeth and Zechariah had this child in their old age. By miracle again, Elizabeth is old and she's barren, but she conceives of John. Now she does naturally. Zechariah and Elizabeth are both the parents, literally, of John. But it's in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, if you look at verse 26, that Gabriel came and visited Mary. He came, verse 27, to a virgin, espoused, not yet married. Maybe deeper than our engagement, but they have not married yet. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and her name was Mary. I want to read a couple of things that Gabriel says to her. Look at verse 28. He greets her and he says, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when he goes on, she saw him, she's troubled, she doesn't understand. Verse 29, verse 30. The angel said, Fear not, Mary, you've found favor with God. And you shall conceive, verse 31, in your womb, and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Joshua, which means deliverer, savior. So it's the perfect name for Jesus. He'll be great, verse 32. Now notice, Gabriel immediately begins to tell her he's the Son of God. He shall be great and should be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall be called the Lord God. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. So who is he? He's the Son of God. And he goes on. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now this kingdom, there'll be no end. Of course, Daniel 2, 44, 45. Mary immediately jumps to what any woman, young woman especially, what any young woman would immediately think, wait a minute, I'm going to give birth to a child? How is that possible? That's exactly what she's asking. That's a fair question. How is that possible? Verse 34, seeing I know not a man. Now that's the biblical no. I've never had relations with a man, so how in the world can I be pregnant? Verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall empower thee, or overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, and he's very explicit, the Son of God. Now we go back to the psalm. And this is where the disputants will reach for this passage and say, she was told this was the Son of God. So how can you write a song saying, Mary, did you know? Of course you knew. Gabriel told her from the beginning, he's the Son of God. Okay. Behold your cousin Elizabeth, she's also going to have a child. Mary goes to visit her. So drop down with me. So now, Mary goes to visit her, and in verse 39, second event that jumps out at us. Mary rose in those days, went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zechariah, saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby, John, we know him as John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord? So Gabriel's told her, Son of God. Now Elizabeth, who again, family, miraculous pregnancy of her own, prophecy surrounding it, etc., etc. And Elizabeth calls her baby the Lord. The mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation entered into my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then Mary breaks out in, if you remember, Thanksgiving. The Sunday before Thanksgiving, we had a singing about magnifying the Lord with Thanksgiving. My soul does magnify the Lord. And she begins to talk about the fact that she's giving birth to the Savior. And the Savior is going to deliver us, etc. And then Mary stayed there, if you'll notice in verse 56, she stayed there about 3 months and returned to her own house. And in other words, she stayed probably till the birth of John the Baptist, or at least Elizabeth would have been very close. And then it goes on to recount some of this about Elizabeth. Now, what have we said here? Mary, did you know? Well, if I just read Luke 1, and this is where the controversy really tends to focus on, if I read Luke 1, I would say, what a stupid song. Maybe like a lot of these people are saying. Of course she knew. I mean, Gabriel tells her explicitly. Elizabeth backs it up. There are several miracles going on here. There's the Magnificat. You know, the song or the whatever you want to say here. The poetry that comes out of Mary. All of this stuff. And without question, this is the Son of God. Well, okay. Let's roll forward, if you will. It's been, again, she stayed there 3 months, so now her pregnancy's kind of settling in her mind. She's going to hit 3 months, 4 months, etc. And now we're going to get to Luke chapter 2, and she's going to be really close to delivering Jesus. And they're going to go to Bethlehem, remember, because the order went out to tax and all of that. So we're looking at Luke 2, and you remember the story, and this week, this will be read how many times? You turn on the TV tomorrow night, and hour by hour, You can get the reading of this as there are church services all over the world. But there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. You can even watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and Linus will read this for you. But there were shepherds abiding in the field, and the angels appeared in all of that. And what did they say? Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And, you know, you'll see this sign. They sang glory to God in the highest, in excelsis Deo. You know, the song goes, angels we have heard on high, etc. Now, if you'll drop down, the shepherds, of course, they, you know, they're seeing all of this. And they came, and I'm going to pick up in about verse 16. They came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Now, he's been delivered, of course, and he is lying in that manger. And verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known of the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, I want you to understand, this is the third testimony to Mary of who this child is. Gabriel said it. Elizabeth said it. And now the shepherds are saying, this is the Son of God. So you can begin to see, okay, yeah, I can see now why, you know, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Did you know? Did you know? Did you know? And that's what the thrust of the song is. And, the you know, as I've seen it put, as you read some of these debates, how could she not know is the idea. Well, let's keep reading. So the Bible says here in verse, 18, 17. They told Mary and Joseph concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things. Verse 18. I want you to notice that. They're listening to it, but they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Why do they wonder? What is there to wonder about? All the shepherds really are doing is reinforcing Gabriel's and Elizabeth's testimony. Now, it's an awesome scene. You know, the angels singing in heaven and everything, but what is there to wonder about? But that's not the worst of it. Look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things. And I want you to look at the phrase, and pondered them in her heart. The different words in the New Testament, and this one's very explicit. The word ponder really comes from, it can even be, the root of it can even be a military term where you bombard something. Bam, 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 bam. I'm not a ring off, I'm not careful. But bam, bam, bam. And when you use it in a thought process, it means you're trying to figure something out. And you're weighing different things again. And I know we've all been through this. We've pondered something. We've thought about something. We've debated something in our mind. We're trying to figure out. We're mentally disputing it. And that's the way I put it in your outline if you've got it. We're considering something. Now when I read that, and I read it against all of this debate going on about this song, Mary, did you know? Well, of course she knew. Gabriel told her from the beginning. Elizabeth reinforced it. The shepherds reinforced it. She's just given birth to the child, and she was a virgin. She knew it. But does that mean she really gets it? She really understands it? No. And we might, 2,000 years later, be looking back on this and saying, how could she not get it? You ever been through something where the facts stared you right in the face and you really just don't get it? You don't fully understand. Why? What? What does it mean? What are all the ramifications of it? She's got to have, if she's any kind of normal person, she's got to have all kinds of emotions running through her. She is the first and only virgin to ever conceive and give birth to a child. That in itself would be incredible. If you, and especially if you lived in this town. But not only that. She's got to be overjoyed at the birth of her first child if she's a normal person. And yet, all of it, every time she encounters somebody, at least as far as the Bible presents it, somebody is telling her how special this child is and all of that. And it's, you know,
when it's all said and done, this is her baby. She pondered it. She considered it. She disputed it. And that's interesting to me that the Bible puts it that way. But that's not the end of it. 8 days later, in keeping with Jewish law, they go to circumcise Jesus. Now, I want you to drop down with me to verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, that is Joseph and Mary, obviously, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he takes Jesus in his arms. No mention if he even knew them. So you can imagine somebody walking up, this old man walking up and taking the baby up in his arms and breaks out in this by inspiration, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart, die, is the idea, in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen the salvation, which you prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten even the Gentiles. And that's far-fetched to the Jewish mind at this time, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother, notice the phrase, verse 33, marveled. They were amazed at these things which were spoken of him. Now let's be fair for a moment. It's getting to the point. Gabriel, Elizabeth, shepherds, and now Simeon. It's getting to the point that really, why would you even be amazed anymore if these things happen? Every step of the way, that is from the conception, through the pregnancy, to the birth, to the circumcision 8 days later, every step of the way, somebody is telling you this is the Son of God and how great He is and what He's going to do. What is there to be amazed about? If you're normal, you've got to almost be in shock over all of this. I mean, if this happened to you, try for a moment to think of if it were you. They marvel. They're amazed at it. They wondered at these things. But that isn't even the end of it. Notice as you go on reading here, go down to verse 41. The parents went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover, remember. Now, some time has passed. We know this story. Jesus is 12 years old. It's the only picture we have of Jesus as a child. I doubt very seriously what we're about to look at here and remind ourselves of was the only time in his whole childhood anything like this happened. We're not given that, but it's just something that is almost beyond imagination that things like this did not happen. You remember the story. Let's summarize it real quick. So they go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus goes into the temple. There's all the top students and professors, we would say, etc., of the day. And they're in there, and they're discussing with Jesus. And if you walked in on this scene, you would have probably seen a lot of old men with long white beards, etc., and a 12-year-old boy sitting there astounding them. Now, that's strange. But the Bible goes on to say that in all of the confusion, remember, you go there, Deuteronomy 16, three times a year, and a lot of times, what we understand from history is that big caravans would go into the city and they'd go together and leave together, etc. So they go for Passover and they're going back home, remember, and all of a sudden, where's Jesus? Now they have to go back to Jerusalem, if you're looking at this. They go back to Jerusalem and they found him. And you see that description in verse 46. After 3 days of looking for their little boy, they found him in the temple in the midst of all the doctors, this is like the professors of the day, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now you walk in on this scene. And the Bible says when they saw him, they were amazed. Again, we get that terminology. They're amazed at it. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have looked for you, sought thee, sorrowing. It's like any parents would if they think they've lost their child for 3 days. Okay? And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Now, think about a 12-year-old boy, what you're seeing and what he's saying to you. How is it that you sought me? King James says, wist you not? Did you not know? Mary, did you know? Well, here's Jesus answering this debate. No, she didn't know. No, she did not know. Even Jesus himself looked at her and said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And verse 50 tells you the answer. And they understood not. They did not understand the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them to Nazareth, etc. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 51. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now I want to take you back again to what happened when the shepherds came to her. She pondered it. Remember that dispute in her head? That bombardment of thoughts against each other. Here again, she kept these sayings in her heart. Does she know? No. Does that mean she doesn't know anything? She doesn't have any idea? Of course she does. Does that mean she fully understands? No, she does not. And I'll give you one or two other, and I mean very quickly. I'll just mention it because we know this. But if you were to go over to John chapter 2, remember before when Jesus goes public, that's how we sometimes say it. But the first miracle that he performed was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And they run out of wine, remember? And Mary comes to Jesus and basically says, they ain't got no wine. As if to say, son, you know, do a miracle. And he looks at her and he's like, woman, what is that to you? Or what is that to us? Or what is that for you to come to me? It's variously translated and it's hotly debated. But the bottom line is, Mary, this is not the way this is going to go down. You are my mother, and I love you, and I respect you, but this is my business, my hour, and it is not going to go down that you will come to me and suggest to me when I'll perform a miracle. And he answers that clearly. Mary, did you know? No. You don't get it, Mary. And you surely do not fully understand. It's like, again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark 3, for example. The mother of Jesus came with his younger brothers. Remember, he's got at least four brothers and two sisters, maybe more. But she comes with his brothers and sisters, and she sent unto Jesus and called him. He's inside, and he's teaching. And she calls for him, Mom wants you. You know, now, I'm sure a lot of us have been through that. You know, now Jesus is 30 plus years old now, and he's doing his job, and Mom wants you. Well, Jesus makes a point there. Look around you. My mother and my brothers and my sisters are these people. Now, that's not a disrespecting of Mary. But it is making it clear, as he does in that passage, my family on earth, regardless of blood, are the ones who hear the will of God do it. Mary, you've got to understand, I love you, and you're my mother, and I will take care of you. John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. I'll take care of you, and I'll make sure you're provided for. But this harkens all the way back to the very beginning. Understand who I am. And you've got to understand it for far more important reason than I'm your son physically. I'm your Savior. And you've got to know me. So Mary, did you know? No, she didn't know. I believe she will come to know and understand. But no, she did not fully understand. Even though all of this happened to her. Beautiful song. A crazy controversy, I don't know. But a beautiful song. Are you here tonight? And do you know who the Son of God is? Will you confess that Jesus is indeed the Son of God? Would you be willing to repent, to give your life to Him, to live your life for Him? And will you be baptized so that Jesus can deliver you from your sins?
will you be born again by being baptized for forgiveness of your sins? Maybe you're here tonight and you've done that, but you look at your life and you say, you know, my life's not in harmony with Jesus, and I need to ask for the prayers of the people here.